Well, good morning, everyone. Good to be back with you. Paul has given me a right-hand assistant here due to shoulder surgery that I had just a month ago. So not allowed to lift anything yet to speak of with the left hand, but it is coming along very nicely, for which I'm very thankful. I want to thank you for the opportunity of being here again today, and Paul is going to assist us along with the men during the communion service this morning, so it will be a little bit different as far as the passing out of the trays is concerned. We were somewhat surprised, we haven't been here for a few months, and somewhat surprised as we came around the corner and saw this monstropolis next door to you, which is a huge size, but very nicely built, it looks like, and certainly changes the landscape somewhat. Before we look into God's Word this morning, let's bow in a word of prayer and speak to the author of the book, shall we, as we look at this morning. Father, indeed we come with hearts of joy today and thanksgiving for your goodness to us. We're so mindful of those around our world that have suffered extreme tragedies in recent days and tragedies that will continue on for months and maybe years in the lives of many of those affected. And Father, we are here in a blessed area. And we thank you for your provision for us. Thank you for roofs over our head and shoes on our feet, clothing, warm homes, food to eat, lost to drink. And Father, we just are so thankful for you. Now, as we look into your word this morning, we're going to be looking at the Believer's Reward Day. Father, we ask that you might spur us on to strive, as Paul says, for the prizes. And as John says, to not allow anyone to steal our crowns. Father, this is a serious subject this morning, as you know. And we ask that we may be spurred and encouraged to move ahead in this, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll never forget Willow Road Public School in Guelph, Ontario, where we had the privilege of living for 16 years. During that time that we were there, we were able to see our four boys graduate from Willow Road Public School from grade 8 into high school. Oh, it was these graduation nights, these awards nights were important times for the students and proud times for their parents and grandparents. There were addresses by the valedictorian, addresses by the mayor. There were the presentation of certificates, the presentation of awards, special awards, some for perfect attendance, some for athletics, some for academic achievement, which is good in a school, of course. Others for citizenship awards, and so on. And these awards, these certificates, these trophies, these plaques were awarded to students who, through great personal sacrifice and determination and discipline, had made a name for themselves. Oh, during that graduation, we were there four times. There were flash bulbs going off. There was hand clapping from one time to another. There were even standing ovations at times. And then when it was all over, the graduating students would march out with a band, school band, leading them. It was a proud night for parents and grandparents and for the students as well, who were being recognized and honored for their determination and discipline in order to achieve. Now, many of you have gone through a similar thing in recent months. Perhaps it was the graduation of a grandson or granddaughter from kindergarten, or grade 2 or grade 3 or grade 8 going into high school, maybe graduating from high school or college or university. So you know what it's all about. Also, tomorrow morning, in thousands of sales offices across our country, salesmen will be challenged by their managers to work hard this coming week to achieve so many sales and therefore to win prizes. You know, the Bible also speaks of a coming awards day for us as believers. It's called the Bema, or the judgment seat of Christ, a day when awards are going to be given, not for academic achievement, not for sales, no, but for spiritual growth in our lives and our faithfulness to the Lord. The Bible talks of at least two major coming judgments. There's one at the end of all time. The end of all time. And it's called the Great White Throne Judgment. There will be no Christians, no believers at the white, great white throne judgment. We read about it in Revelation and chapter 20, verses 11 to 15, which says this. John speaking here, he says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, and from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were within the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire." This is the second death, the lake of fire. "And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Those that are there on that day, no believers, only unbelievers, and there they will be judged according to their faith, which was not in the Lord Jesus Christ, and all will be condemned. But before that, we believe following the rapture of the church will come what is called the Bema. This is the first judgment that will happen, or the judgment seat of Christ. And as no believers will be at the great white throne judgment, so no unbelievers will be at the Bema or the judgment seat of Christ. Elaine read about it earlier this morning, and we're going to read just one other verse in 2 Corinthians 5:10, which says this, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." And there we, believers in Christ, are going to be judged according to our faithfulness. It will be our awards day, and we will be rewarded as to how we lived our lives for the Lord. We will be given crowns, which we will cast at Jesus' feet. There probably will be no flashbulbs there, may not even be hand clapping, I don't know. But the Lord will be there, and he will be there to honor us, his children, according to our faithfulness. You know, it's going to make all other earthly awards seem so insignificant. Would you let your imagination run wild for just a moment? Let's imagine, from what we learn from Scripture, of the grandeur of this place where it's going to take place. It's going to take place in the heavenlies, surrounded by all that God has created, the mansions, the foundations of precious stones, the gold street, the angels singing, the gates of pearl, all fashioned by our Lord. There'll be no sun there. The Lord himself will be the light. What a place it's going to be that we will meet in. And who's going to be there? All believers. There will be hundreds of millions of us. Missiologists, we're involved in missions, and missiologists are able to count this high, and they gather the facts and figures from various evangelical denominations and mission agencies and agencies working overseas and so on and so on. And they say that probably today, living in our world, are something like 700 million of us who claim at least to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. That's a huge number. And think of those that have passed and those that will pass away prior to this event that will be happening at any time. But all believers will be there. Hundreds of millions of us, dressed in our white robes, with a special invitation signed by the Savior's blood. What a solemn occasion that is going to be. And won't be just a school band, as there was at Willow Road Public School. There will be choirs of angels. What a time. And then in the midst of all of this grandeur, the Lord himself perhaps will beckon us forth one by one to his elevated platform there to receive our rewards. And this is what we want to look at this morning, the five crowns that we believe we should be striving for as God's people. And the first one is found in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 to 4. And it is the crown of glory, the crown of glory, 1 Peter 5, 2 to 4. And Peter writing, he says, I exhort you to feed or to shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Not yet as lording it over those allotted to our charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. The crown of glory is going to be awarded to those believers who willingly, and that is a key word there, who willingly feed the flock of God. Those who willingly feed the flock of God, those faithful Sunday school teachers, those faithful VBS workers, those parents who have poured into their children what they have learned of God's word and taught them properly, those pastors, those missionaries, those youth workers, those Christians who take time to disciple other newer believers, pouring into their lives what they've learned of the Lord and what they've learned of his word. Those who feed the flock of God willingly will receive the crown of glory. Now, sometimes that is very difficult. There's great preparation that must be done. Sometimes it conflicts with other social activities or sports activities or work plans or family activities. Nevertheless, those that will receive this crown are those that persevere and willingly teach the flock of God. They're faithful. They have kept faithful at it. And then the Lord from his elevated throne will call us up one by one, and I use names at random here. I use names at random because I don't know. But he may possibly call these names. David Ginter, come forward. Donna Anderson, come forward to receive the crown of glory. Vi Young, come forward to receive this crown, and maybe your name and maybe my name today. That is the crown of glory. There's a second crown talked about in James chapter 1 and verse 12. James 1:12, which goes like this. James speaking here, being led by the divine author, the Holy Spirit. And he says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial." Who perseveres under trial. "For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." The crown of life will be awarded to those who patiently, that's hard, isn't it? Patiently endure the trials of life, who have persevered under difficult circumstances. Maybe you have an unsaved spouse that seeks to block every attempt you have to grow spiritually or to serve the Lord. Maybe it's a physical limitation. Maybe it's an addiction. Or maybe it's some other trial, maybe a financial trial or a work trial. I think of those martyrs many, many centuries ago that died at the stake, chained to the stake, while the flames licked around their feet. And what did they do? Because of the grace of God, they were able to sing. They persevered through the trials of life. You know, it's estimated that about 170,000 Christian martyrs on an average every year. 170,000. This world is not a friendly place. How are we doing so far? Patiently enduring the trials. You're driving down Portage Avenue. You're in a hurry. And you've gotten every red light there is, and some that weren't even there. You got them too. You know what it's like, patiently enduring those trials. Not easy. But you know, James reminds us that we can go through trials joyously. Now, that isn't always my experience. But James says this, "My brethren," he says, "count it all joy." All joy, when you become surrounded with various trials. Ooh. He goes on to tell us the secret, why we can be joyous. It's maturing us as a believer, and it's also making us well-balanced as well. And then he tells us, if you don't have the wisdom to know how to go through this trial joyously, you can ask that of the Lord. What is wisdom? The ability to say and do the right thing in the right way at the right time. And you say, "I'm facing a trial and I don't have the wisdom to know how to go through this trial joyously." James says this, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and does not bawl us out for our past failures, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith." And then the Lord from his elevated throne will call forth those to receive the crown of life. And again, I picked names randomly. Murray Soltis, please come forward. Jeff LeBlanc, Ed Norton, and thousands of others. Will your name, will my name be included in that list to receive the crown of life? You know, Paul exhorts us to strive for these prizes. Strive for them. We need to be doing that. The third crown is called the crown of righteousness. The crown of righteousness. And it's found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. 2 Timothy 4, 6 to 8, which goes like this. Paul speaking here to Timothy, he says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure," he's awaiting his execution, "the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And in the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who love his appearing. And this is awarded to those who look forward to the coming of our Lord. They have so ordered their lives that they know they will not be ashamed if he should come today. They have so kept track of their lives and ordered their lives that they honestly can look forward to, yearn for, and welcome his appearing. You know, when we are doing right, we don't need to fear, do we? Coming along Portage Avenue today, I was seatbelt on, cell phone put away, driving the speed limit, keeping the rules of the road. And if a white police car with its lights going were behind me, I wouldn't have to worry because I was driving properly. August comes along and we receive a letter from the CRA. Oh, dreaded thought. But however, if you know that you have filled your income tax out properly and honestly and claimed all your income and done it right, you don't have to fear. This is called the crown of righteousness for those who welcome, look forward to the coming of our Lord. And again, I use names randomly because I don't know. But the Lord from his elevated platform may be calling you and perhaps me. Ben Fast, Andrea Elford, Pam Unruh, please come forward, and thousands of others. The fourth crown is called the incorruptible crown. The incorruptible crown. And it is awarded, this is a harder one. It is awarded to those who gain mastery over the flesh, over the old nature, over the old man, our sinful tendencies, that temper, anger, lust, gluttony, whatever it may be, those who gain mastery over the flesh, who through great determination and discipline do not take as an advantage their liberty in Christ, but live temperately and have mastery, strive for mastery over the flesh. This is told to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 24 to 27. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. Do you not know that those that run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way, Paul says, as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. The runner, the boxer of Paul's day received a corruptible crown, a wreath of leaves. But we strive for an incorruptible crown. Mastery over the flesh. May I ask those of you that are younger on dates, what are your actions like? Mastery over the old nature? What about in private? What about the movies we watch? What about the words we speak? For those who gain mastery over the flesh, they'll receive the incorruptible crown. And I again call names at random, but the Lord will call the correct names on that day from his elevated throne, and he says, Janine Rumble, come forward. Kendall Bueller, come forward. Indra Singh, come forward. Hopefully your name hopefully my name, when those prizes are given out. The last crown is called the crown of rejoicing, and it is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19. And Paul, writing again, he says, "For who is our hope or joy or crown of exaltation or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming?" And this is awarded to those soul winners, to those who by life and by lip share the Lord Jesus Christ and his great salvation he's provided for us with others. I think of Verlin and Twyla Smith, who served for many years with the mission that we were formerly with, Avant Ministries, formerly known as Gospel Missionary Union. And at the age of 60, Verlin retired as a farmer in Ohio and joined Wycliffe Bible Translators in the country of Panama for two years, he and his wife. And then they felt led to go to the country of Ecuador, now at the age of 62. At the age of 62, to go with Avant Ministries to be involved in a maintenance ministry and a hospitality ministry. They never had a chance to do that. Verlin got involved in showing the Jesus film to the Quechua Indians. And for the next 11 years, he faithfully showed that film in the Quechua churches and led some 1,300 souls to Christ in that 11-year period. A tremendous ministry. You know, they tell us that probably only 5% of believers share their faith openly. Well, this is the crown of rejoicing given to the soul winners, those who attempt by their life and by their lips to share the gospel with others. And I again call out names at random because I don't know. Rob Gilkinson, come forward. Helen Harbridge, come forward. Ben Wolf, come forward, and the Lord from his elevated throne may call you and may call me. Five crowns that we are to be striving for. You know, at Willow Road Public School, those trophies, plaques, awards that were given remained in the school itself. And they were put in a glass case in the hallway. And the name of the winner was engraved every year on those plaques and trophies. Well, at the Bema, we will earn these crowns, but we will cast them at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Casting our crowns that we, through great diligence and discipline, have earned, and will cast them at his feet. Dwight Pentecost, the writer of the book called Things to Come, says this: "The greater the reward on that day, the greater the bestowed capacity to bring glory to God for all eternity." Let me read that again. The greater the reward that you and I receive on that day, the greater the bestowed capacity to bring glory to God for all eternity. I wonder, will we, like the Apostle Paul, who said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, when he had come to the end of his life, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith." John Piper, when he was here, I think it was in 1998 at Mission Fest, used this illustration, which I never forgot. He said a couple that he knew of sold their home and bought a motor home when they retired at an early age. And during the summer, they would spend the summers in Canada, walking the trails, and fishing, and golfing, and enjoying the Canadian summers. And then as fall would come on, they would go down to Florida, And there they would walk the trails, and they would fish, and they would play golf, and they would pick up seashells off the shore. And John Piper said, "What a useless life. What a useless life." Especially for a believer. Life is so fleeting. And what I am doing now will determine if my life is going to be meaningful for Christ or not. You know, Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 9:24, he says this, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to strive for the prize." And then John reminds us in Revelation 3, he said, "I'm coming soon," Jesus says. "Hold on to what you have so that no one will steal your crown." Five crowns that are given. They are the crown of glory given to those who willingly feed the flock of God. Maybe discipling a new believer. I've just asked our pastor recently for the names of some young men that I could disciple. I'm hoping that this week I'll learn about that. But we should be doing that. It's a command of the Lord, isn't it? Feeding those young believers what we have learned of the Lord Jesus and what we have learned from his word. That's the crown of glory, the crown of life given to those of us who endure with patience the trials of life. Not too hard for us here compared to other parts of the world. The crown of righteousness for those who so order their lives that they can honestly look forward to the coming of our Lord, knowing they will not be ashamed. The incorruptible crown given to those of us who gain, this is a hard one, who gain mastery over the flesh, those sinful tendencies, the old nature, who gain mastery over that. And then the soul winner's crown, the crown of rejoicing. Let's close in a word of prayer this morning. Father, we trust that by your Spirit and through your word, you may have inspired us as believers to strive in the years that we have left, while there's still breath, to strive for these various crowns that we in turn will cast at Jesus' feet and then be able to bring more glory to you through all eternity. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.